Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So glad that you joined us on the broadcast today. Just a couple hours ago, a news story broke that spoke about North Korea. It said North Korea is using multiple techniques to defy UN sanctions, a report says, and this is out of this particular one is on Fox News. But it says North Korea is using sophisticated techniques to circumvent United Nations sanctions, including the suspected use of its embassies in Cuba and Singapore to facilitate an illegal weapons trade, according to a new UN report. The report, compiled by a panel of 8 UN experts, said North Korea was also making use of a complicated financial countermeasures that make the country's purchase of prohibited goods more difficult to track, the Reuters report says, and it goes on from there. So North Korea, once again in the news, and once again circumventing what's taking place in the world and with the UN. But there is some, there is a little bit of good news about North Korea. Not good news for, you know, that North Korea is doing something positive in and of themselves, but the United Nations is finally taking part in a panel and in a report, putting together a couple hundred page report about the abuses that are taking place in North Korea, the human rights abuses that are taking place. It's way overdue that they have had this on their radar and given this the attention that it deserves. But World Magazine is on top of it once again, and Daniel James Devine has actually written the cover story for the most recent issue of World Magazine. He joins us now to talk about North Korea and what's taking place specifically with this UN report. Daniel, welcome back to the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Hi, Kevin. Thanks again for having me.
Hey, Daniel, you got the cover story this time, right, with World Magazine?
Yeah, and to give credit where credit is due, it's a co-written story along with my colleague Sophia Lee, so I didn't do it all myself. She wrote a lot of it, and she actually speaks Korean, which was a big help because I do not.
Yeah, right. We've had her on the broadcast before. We enjoy her reporting as well. I was reading one of her articles from this this month's issue on tattoos, and I did a broadcast on tattoos, and especially that many Christians now are getting tattoos. So I just recommend that to the listening audience. You can go out to www.worldmag.com to read some of Sophia's articles, others that are writing out there as well. Warren's doing a lot of work on the Mark Driscoll issue, Warren Cole Smith, and so you can read some of those stories as well. But today we're going to focus on the story about the UN and specifically what the UN is doing about the human rights abuses. Daniel's story, the title of it is, and this should right away give you some idea of what the stories coming out of North Korea are like, but the title of it is Fleeing Hell. That's what the title of his story is. And the subtitle says this: North Korean defectors are shedding light on a dark human rights abuses in their native land, and some are telling of the light they found. That's interesting. Well, Daniel, tell us a little bit of what you give us a synopsis of what you wrote about in this story, and then we can start drilling down on some of the details.
Yeah, absolutely. So this month, the UN Human Rights Council is meeting for a human rights summit, and one of the several discussion topics that will be raised is this issue of human rights in North Korea. And there's a report from the very first major UN investigation of human rights in North Korea that will be presented on March 17th. at the Human Rights Council. And so people are saying this report is long overdue. There's been a special commission that has spent the past year, actually, interviewing former North Koreans who have escaped out of the country and just getting their stories and testimonies. And so this commission has been investigating this issue, not at all with the cooperation of North Korea. The government there just completely denies that there are any human rights abuses going on within its borders, which is, you know, just outrageous that they would try to say that. But, you know, a lot of people, you know, have heard that things are going on in North Korea, that there's atrocities that have been committed there. But these stories that are coming out with this investigation just really, you know, puts a flesh and bone on the things that are happening there and helps people understand what's going on. For example, Christianity is outlawed in practice there in North Korea. People have to worship the dictator, the current dictator, Kim Jong-un, and any political dissent is immediately punished by execution or by entire families being thrown into labor camps where they're tortured, they're starved. In some cases, they're raped, they're subjected to forced abortions. Just horrible things going on. And so the testimonies of these former witnesses is shedding light on some of these practices for the first time in some cases. And as you said, though, that there is a glimmer of hope. And the cover of the title of the story, Fleeing Hell, has actually two different meanings. Not only are they fleeing the conditions in North Korea, but some people are actually fleeing spiritual darkness, and it seems like the darkness there in North Korea has maybe opened in people's hearts, made them receptive to the gospel. So some of these people are actually becoming Christians, and in our story we profile a couple of those.
How many of the people gathered together at the UN meeting, how many of those people were people that have actually fled North Korea?
I believe in total they interviewed over 300 witnesses, and those would be former citizens, prisoners, in some cases prison guards that had left the country. Some of them testified publicly, and other ones would not testify publicly just because they have family still in North Korea, and they realized that, you know, if their names got out, that it could have consequences for people back home.
I remember reading a story, may have been in World Magazine, but how difficult it is to flee North Korea, that you had to, if I remember right, you had to go down through different, very difficult, but I remember down through another country and then make your way around and then take a boat to a certain area and hope then that nobody's going to report you. I mean, it was extremely difficult to get out and get out undetected. I imagine that that's the case with many of these 300 people that managed to escape.
Yeah, it really is an ordeal. People can actually get out of the country if they just have something to bribe border guards. So, in other words, they have to cross a river, and if they've got a pack of cigarettes or maybe some cookies or crackers, they can bribe one of the guards there to just wink and nod and let them go by. But it's actually illegal for people to leave the country. And so if they do get caught either over in China, China will actually deport them back to North Korea, shockingly. And if they're not able to get past a guard, or if they get caught coming back into North Korea, they can get arrested then in that case.
And arrested there oftentimes can be a death sentence for many of these people, or certainly, as we're hearing in some of these stories, just a horrible ordeal. You tell one of the stories in the very beginning of your article, a fellow by the name of Timothy Kang, that's spelled K-A-N-G, and Timothy says that he specifically remembers that the guards wore Russian-style military boots. And why does he specifically remember that, Daniel?
Yeah, well, during his time in prison, he was beaten, and he was actually kicked over and over, and so he remembers the style of boots that were worn as that happened. And he was just one of several people that is described being tortured in prisons in North Korea. Timothy Kang, the reason that he got caught, he escaped North Korea when he was younger and lived in China with relatives. While he was in China, he became a Christian. And he may have had some relatives who were Christians, and he had known some missionaries, some pastors in China. And so he saw through their example the love of Christ through them, and just how much that contrasted with what he had grown up with in North Korea, where there had been so much propaganda. In North Korea, they portray Christians as evil people, and Timothy Kang saw that that was not the case. Hmm. So he actually decided to go back to North Korea in order to evangelize his fellow countrymen. Well, as he was going across the border, or sometimes afterwards, at some point he was arrested for crossing the border, and he was put in prison because of that.
Mm-hmm. We talked a little bit about the fact that the UN is finally getting around to this. You know, when I think about the purpose of the UN, I would think, you know, this should be a high priority. This has been going on in North Korea for a long period of time, and these abuses have been taking place not just under Kim Jong-il, but his father as well. And so now finally the UN is getting around to this and hearing these stories, and obviously we're grateful for that. But what can this 300 and some page report do? What sort of leverage do they have against somebody like North Korea?
Yeah, the ultimate goal would be for the Human Rights Commission to send what's in this report to the International Criminal Court, and using this report and the just the atrocities in it, the International Criminal Court could actually issue arrest warrants for some of these authorities, these leaders in North Korea who are perpetrating this. The hang-up is that some of the members of the Human Rights Council are actually big defenders of North Korea, and the major one is China. And so China could actually veto any process to send this to the International Criminal Court. And for some reason, China has just always defended North Korea. They deport North Koreans to escape and send them back to the country. So China is a big problem right now in just getting this whole thing to move forward.
I don't know if you had an opportunity to see that satellite photograph that they have of Korea, North Korea. But even from space, you can tell what communism looks like, what socialistic Marxist Kim Jong-il worship looks like. They have this picture, and all the lights are on. You know, there's this tremendous amount of activity and lights and commerce and all of the things that go along with having electricity in certain countries. And then when you look at North Korea, almost all the lights are off. The entire country is dark in this picture. And it just speaks about just what is taking place there and what, you know, just how downbeaten these people are. A lot of videos have been now smuggled out as well, and they show I remember a specific one where they show the people coming near these railroad cars. The railroad cars have grain on them, but some of the grain has spilled, and so it's on the tracks or mixed in with the tracks and the rocks and everything on the side of the tracks. And the people are coming out from these villages and trying to gather up with the dirt and stones and everything as much of this grain that they can that has fallen off the cars, and you know, obviously starving and in dire straits, trying to just get any little morsel of food that they can scoop up. So it seems a bit odd to us to think that the UN needs any further information. I think it's pretty clear to everyone what is taking place, and it's disturbing to hear that China is offering any sort of cover for North Korea whatsoever. That tells us something about China, doesn't it? But tell us in your article then, we mentioned the one person that you speak about, that Timothy Kang that he actually was a believer, but others are actually finding Christ in these horrible situations as well?
Yeah, there was another one that we interviewed, actually, my colleague, Sophia Lee. As I said, she speaks Korean, so she interviewed a young woman named Jo Jin Hai, who had testified before the UN Commission, and Jo described growing up in North Korea during the 90s when the North Korean government had taken control of the free market system, and what the government does is distributes food according to a political class system. So the more politically favored your family is, the more food you actually would get. And Jo just described a heartbreaking story of her family starving, her young baby brother, who was born, actually starved to death in her arms, and another brother, younger brother, starved, and her father died in prison. And Jo and her mother and her sister escaped the country and escaped into China. And it was in China that that Jo actually ran into a Christian church, kind of by accident, it sounds like. But she found some Christians there, and that was the beginning of her journey to faith. And actually, she was trying to escape from China into South Korea during the times when she was sent back to North Korea. And she was sent back, actually, four times, and sent back to prison there. And several of those times she was tortured in prison. And it was the fourth time when a U.S. missionary actually raised a bribe to allow her to be released from North Korea and eventually to move to the United States. But she just described her faith and how her faith grew while she was in prison in North Korea, because she said God always answered her prayers. Said she had really nowhere else to turn to, and she just prayed with 100% faith, and God always came through.
Let me remind our listening audience, we're speaking with Daniel James Devine about the cover story of the most recent issue of World Magazine dealing with North Korea and the human rights atrocities that are taking place there. The UN is now hearing testimony, putting together a report, and then trying to raise some sort of international criminal charges against North Korea. How far that'll go, we don't know. I don't think it's any surprise to anybody around the world to hear that these things are taking place. But what is shocking is to hear it from the people that were actually there and actually lived through it, you know, to hear the testimonies itself. Daniel, one of the testimonies that to me stands out is from one of the person or people responsible for those atrocities in the prison. One of the guards that was actually a military guard at one of the detention centers. Tell us what he had to say in this situation.
Yeah, this was An Myung Chul, if I can pronounce his name right, and he was one of a former prison guard, and there are actually several guards and officials that have defected over the years. But he was one who testified to the UN Commission and just talked about some of the atrocities that he actually participated in. He said that in prison, martial arts instructors would actually line up inmates and use them as human punching bags. And An himself participated in this and practiced hits and kicks on one inmate until he collapsed. And he said he's ashamed to admit that now. But he said that he and his fellow guards and officials were brainwashed into believing that these political prisoners were really, you know, bad, evil people, and that they were, you know, just rotten and needed to be treated that way. And so he described the conditions inside the camps there. He described in one case a platoon leader who raped and impregnated a female inmate, and that is any sex is forbidden inside the camps. And so this the father committed suicide, and this woman disappeared, probably killed or transferred to another labor camp. And the newborn baby was dumped into a pot and fed to military dogs, he said.
Oh, boy.
Just inhumane, unbelievable things going on over there. And it's good to see these coming into the light of day, perhaps some of them for the first time, but heartbreaking and sickening to listen to.
And according to his testimony, it said that he was given satellite images, and from those satellite images, he then described the layouts of the various camps where he had worked, the electric fences around the perimeter, the main detention center, the solitary confinement cells reserved for torture, and then the village that was associated with these prisons where the security agents would live, and then the sleeping area for the inmates. And he described those two, the contrast between those two areas, as the village where the agents stayed was heaven, and where the inhabitants stayed, the inmates, was hell. And that's his own description of those two, and he would know being a guard. He also spoke about, in your article, that all the guards undergo a six-month-long training session, drilling them about the beliefs of the inmates. I thought that was, they're going to great lengths here in order to learn what the inmates would say and then how to repute that. Tell our listening audience a little bit about that part of your story.
Yeah, just the brainwashing that goes on, the indoctrination that goes on is unbelievable. I don't remember if he was the one that said it or if it was another one of the persons who testified, but the guards actually had to sit through, I don't know, sort of 30 minutes or 60 minutes of indoctrination every day, and a lot of it was just telling them how great the dear leader, the dictator of the country is, and how wonderful he is to have saved and provided for all the North Koreans. That's the story that they hear. And it's what they hear about the outside world. They hear that Westerners are evil, that Christians are evil, that South Korea is evil. And I remember another one of the guards, not the one in our story, but one who testified, told the story of how South Koreans will send candy floating over on balloons across the border to North Korea, and the guards would find these, and their captains would tell them that the candy is poisoned, you don't eat it.
Hmm.
And some of these guards were pretty smart. They let ants eat the candy, and they figured that if the ants didn't die, it was okay to eat it.
Yeah. Well, they found a way around a way of testing it there, huh, so that they could then partake of the candy themselves, apparently.
Yeah.
Daniel, what's the bottom line then? What's the end to the story here? What should we be looking for, or what should we be praying about, specifically dealing with your report that you wrote about the report to the UN?
Well, how can we pray? That's a good question. I think certainly pray that the United Nations is able to come to some action and put pressure on North Korea in some way. I think the people who are there, who are Christians, would say pray that they're faith perseveres, that they're able to persevere under the persecution that they're under. Pray that the gospel would spread, and pray that there would just be an opening so that the instead of the gospel being outlawed, that people would be able to share it with one another, and that those churches that are there now would grow. There are four official churches, Christian churches in North Korea, but people say that those are actually fake and just run by actors. But an expert I talked to from Christian Solidarity International told me that there are over 200 secret churches that meet in North Korea right now.
Mm.
So there is a Christian church there. They have to be very careful because it's very dangerous. But the gospel is spreading in that country.
Mm.
So pray that it continues to do so.
Mm. The gospel knows no bounds, even to get inside of North Korea, and certainly we should be praying for the expansion of the gospel and eventual overthrow of this government, that these people would be liberated, not only physically, but liberated spiritually as well through the preaching of the gospel. Daniel, thank you so much for writing this story and doing such an excellent job. There's a lot to the story that we weren't able to cover on the broadcast today, so I just recommend it to people. But Daniel, thank you for taking time out also to visit with us for a little bit here on the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Yep, thanks. Good to be here.
Okay, that was Daniel James Devine. We've been talking about his article. His article appears in the latest issue of World Magazine. You know, they do a really cool thing with World Magazine, too. When you subscribe to it, you can you not only get the print edition sent to your house, but then you have the ability to log in and read the online version of it. And they got a really cool tool there for being able to turn the pages online and so forth. So you can read the actual magazine in electronic format with your World Magazine subscription and the code that comes along with it. So I highly recommend it. You can go out to their website at www.worldmag.com to find out more. You can also see out there how you can get a subscription. I know for a certain period of time they were offering an absolute free subscription for a limited period of time. And when they say free, it doesn't mean that somebody then, you know, they're going to take your credit card and then you're going to, you know, find out that they keep hitting your credit card if you don't cancel it. That's not what they mean by free. They mean literally free. And you could try it out for a number of months. Check it out on their website. We'll be back in a moment.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.